Well, Sean, convention wrapped up here. Good day's work, I'm sure you feel.
I feel that, Tom, indeed. It was a heavy day. We're here 5 hours, but we got through a lot of business, and today's just a kind of, as I said in my address, it's only a synopsis of the huge amount of work that goes on year, and I'm delighted to get through convention. We've got our election of officers done, and we had some very controversial probably motions on the CLAR as well, so everybody got a good opportunity to discuss all the issues that are in front of us today.
Right, let's get the controversy out of the way first. In terms of, I suppose, when you say controversy, really, I suppose the ones around the maybe not so club boundaries, but you know, eligibility and where players can play, there was a lot of motions in relation to that.
There's been a lot of talk about that all during the last 6 months in particular, and a lot of discussion at county committee, and the clubs decided today that they want the no choice. You play within the confines of your catchment area. Now, I believe that's going to be still great difficulties for us, because we have another part of that work to do now is to get all the catchment areas in, agreed and enshrined and ruled. Yeah. So we still have a lot of work to do there, and I have a feeling that this won't be the last convention that topic will come up,
because the old vocabulary of parish seems to have disappeared from the vocabulary of the GAA. So now catchment areas they're talking about.
Primarily, and when we looked at our catchment areas and parishes here in the county, we found that very little of them actually matched up with what we would understand as our catchment area. Very little of them actually matched up identically with our parishes. So we're probably using that terminology because the parish isn't, while it's still the bedrock, but we're just, catchment areas has been referred to. And so, like, there has been a lot of change over the last 30 years, and not alone in Donegal, but all over the country, with migration of people and people working, living in one area, working in another, their children going to school in another area. And that's why it was important that we had a good debate about it today. But I'm certain we probably haven't heard the last of it either.
Yeah, and a few new officers as well, a little bit of change, a few forced. Obviously, a couple of people had completed their 5-year terms and others just stopped it out, and new people coming in.
Yeah, and so that's very positive too, that there is people still willing to come forward. We've left no positions on full today, so there's still people there willing to come forward, because I think it is recognised the workloads are getting bigger and more demanding, and but it's still very positive that we can walk out of here today and we have no vacancies at the executive table.
Yeah, and a lot of experience as well, because Frankie Doherty has stepped up from assistant treasurer with a lot of experience to vice chairman. You know, you have PG McGowan returning to the Ulster Council position, having vacated it about over 20 years ago, to join Pat Conaghan, and you have Fergus McGee returning as Fine Gael, having been in the position before. I suppose the only really new face is Paddy Tenney from Glenswelly.
Yes, like, there is a few returning faces and some people moving deck chairs, for want of a better word. They're moving across.
But it's not in the Titanic.
No, it's not in the Titanic. But PJ brings a lot of experience, a former county chairman. Paddy Tenney done a lot of work with the county treasurer's last couple of years behind the scenes, and it's great to see a new face like Paddy. Frankie has moved into vice chair, and I know I'll be able to call on him at any time to deputise for me, and Frankie's very obliging, so I have no qualms there. And Fergus does a huge amount in the promotion of our culture and language, so Fergus is going to be a great addition to the executive table as well.
Yeah, and in your address, you laid out, what was it, a 4-point plan? I know Inda Kenny, I think, had a 5-point plan, but you know, just tell us, maybe talk to us a little bit about what the main hopes and aspirations you have for the association in the next year or so.
Well, of course, I put the training centre convoy at the top, and that is really, that will be a focus. We have our pitches in place now, getting the building underway, getting to the stage now of getting contractors appointed, and that is really a huge priority for this year. We have fantastic pitches there. 4 of them will be operational around this time next year, so we have to get the facilities in around that. That's the priority.
And that's the club rooms and dressing rooms.
That's club rooms, dressing rooms, all the facilities you need in a centre that will have 4 pitches going and possibly 5 in the years ahead. Naturally, when you're going to have a major phase of development like that, we're also going to need the money to do that. Yeah. And we have to raise a lot of money, and we're going to have to put the plan.
Just remind us again what's going to cost roughly.
That phase of development is going to cost somewhere between 1.2 and 1.5 million. At the minute, we have about 550,000 for that project, so we're going to have to raise in and around 800,000 over the next 2 year period, or at least come up with some kind of a plan that we'll have a steady income over a longer period even. So we have a lot of thought to put into that early in the new year.
And what else is the
Well, we talked about the club catchment areas earlier. We have a huge body of work to do on that. And then every year we talk about club fixtures and county football, and it'll be interesting to see what motions come forward now at National Congress arising out of Pádraig Duffy's report on the player burnout and the calendar year fixture. So we're going to have to grapple with those proposals and see. You could see today there's a feeling in Donegal against some of the rules that was passed last year with regard to minor inter-county players and not allowing 17-year-olds to play club football. So there's a lot that there's going to be interesting when we come to National Congress and where we'll find our position on those. So they're just some of the things. The day-to-day business will have to happen as well. So,
but all in all, you know, reported a profit, Kieran Kelly, your treasurer, reported a profit, maybe well down on last year, but I think last year was an exceptional one-off. I suppose the one area of concern would be the fundraising. It really fell off a cliff this year, you know, and it's something that you're going to have to do. As you mentioned, you're going to have to raise quite a lot of money for the day-to-day running, and then you're going to go maybe 1.2 to 1.5 million for...
Yeah, well, I think Kieran did kind of identify that a lot, the biggest bulk of our fundraising done last year was kind of post the All-Ireland quarter-final. So naturally this year we didn't go past the quarter-final, so that was obviously an area that we lost out on. But we knew too that a lot of people had given a lot of money into the association over into our county teams and our training centre over the last number of years. So we took a bit of a conscious decision as well to pull back a little bit and hopefully be able to manage our affairs without a major fundraising. Give clubs and our supporters and members.
It was a conscious decision.
It was partly a conscious decision. Certainly, if we'd have got past the All Ireland quarter final, we would have ramped it up at that that point. But unfortunately, we didn't. But we'd certainly be back.
Well, I suppose in this circumstance, to come out on the plus side was quite good.
It is. It's still a fantastic achievement when you look at the amount of money there that goes through the county treasurer and the bookkeeper, an income of 1.2 million and an expenditure of 1.2 million. It's a massive, it's massive, and so to balance that in any given year is still a great achievement.
And you reminded people as well of the workload that officers, county officers have, and I suppose maybe that as well, that you're just part time, you're not full time.
Well, I feel full-time, I have to be honest, a lot of the time, and sometimes that's lost on people, that we are only part-time, we're doing it in our spare time, we're doing it voluntarily, and some people have expectations of us that we're there 24-7, or maybe during working hours, that we should be available at any particular time of the day, or to attend meetings, and it's just not possible. We have family lives, and we have working lives as well, but it is well recognised that the demands on county officers, indeed club officers, is increasing all the time, and that would be a worrying trend. So, but it has been flagged at national level, and hopefully, you know, it is getting harder.
But a weight off your shoulders that everything went well today and all business done.
All business done is very important. There's a lot of preparation goes into a convention like today, and particularly from myself, you know, you have to be on top of it, and have very good people around me there at the executive table. But it is still a huge undertaking, and I'm delighted that it's all done, all the business done, and I think it was a very productive convention.
And it was a big day for the Letterkenny Gaels Club as well, wasn't it? You know, hosting a convention, their first, I think.
Their first ever convention to host, and I must say the effort they put in. I have to compliment Letterkenny Gaels. They had so many volunteers here today from early this morning, making sure everything was set up, and they went the extra mile with the pads and the biros, and they really were out in force, and they promoted their club very well with their banners. And I'm delighted for Letterkenny Gaels, and they were tremendous assistance to us here this afternoon.